Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we begin Perek Shvi, the seventh Perek in Hilchos Ishus and the Laws of Marriage from the Sefer Nashim, from the book pertaining to women, from the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, which this Perek continues in the theme of the previous Perek regarding that of conditions and limitations in that of Kiddushin. Some ideas we're going to discuss in today's Perek, like we said, a continuation of the laws of stipulations. If someone makes a Kiddushin on the condition that his father will be agreeable to that, or that he has certain monies, or that she doesn't, or he doesn't have any vows or blemishes, or that the Kiddushin should be from now until 30 days later, or he makes the Kiddushin except that it's not excluding a certain individual, or if he engages, he betrothed his wife for after he's going to divorce her, or if he does Kiddushin for a woman that's forbidden for him now, but will be permitted for him later on, or a woman that is not even around yet, she's not born yet, or not really available yet for Kiddushin, or things that require an evaluation, or regarding different litigation between them regarding the amount of the monies that they agreed upon for Kiddushin, and that regarding the agency and stipulation as one retracts as it applies to that of Kiddushin. So we begin Halacha Aleph. The Rambam opens up, as we said, the continuation of the theme of conditions, a condition now that depends on another party, a third party. Halacha Aleph, says the Rambam. Someone says to a woman, you're betrothed to me, you're engaged to me, I'm not sure it's avi, on the condition that my father wants, meaning he's going to say yes when he hears about this. So ratzav, if the father is agreeable, meaning he says, yes, I'm agreement to the shidduch, she's engaged. Loi ratzav, if he's not agreeable, or even if it's just silent, or he dies, he passed away before he hears about it, so then he'll never be able to say yes. So therefore, the stipulation that tonight is not being fulfilled, in Mekadesh, she's not engaged. Because again, everything depends on the moment when he hears about it. If he says yes, that's a fulfillment of the Kiddushin. But if he's silent, even if he's agreeable later on, or if he never hears about it and he dies, so the condition was never fulfilled. So therefore, she's not going to be engaged. Now, that's if he says it, in that wording of that, I want my father to be merutza, to be agreeable. But let's say he says it the other way around. Amanash shalo yemachav. He sounds similar, but it's different. He says, on the condition that my father doesn't protest. So shama umichas, if the father hears about it and says, no, I'm not agreeable to the shidduch, so ain't mekadesh, he's not engaged. That was his condition. But let's say loy micha. Let's say when he hears about it, even if he protests later on, but when he heard about it, he didn't protest. Oy shemes. Or if he died before he heard about it, arizim mekadeshes. So then, she's engaged because the father never actively went and protested. Not necessarily was he agreeable, but he didn't protest. Now, so therefore, says the Rambam, regarding this case, Mesa ben, if let's say the son, the chassan, passed away, v'achkech shama'av, and then subsequently the father heard about it, meaning, if the father would have heard about it before his son passed away and he didn't protest, so then, like the Rambam was saying, she would be engaged. But here the son passed away, and then the father's hearing about it, so malam din ha'av sha'ayyamer, we teach the father to say, ain't it right to say that you don't want, because as long as he's hearing about this, what's going on, or let's say within what's called Teichel Dibur, in the few seconds when he heard about it, then he could protest. Because, again, if he was silent when he heard about it, it's not going to help the protest later on. But we tell him, right when he's saying about protest, protest. Why? Conditionally, a condition. Because if you don't protest, it's going to be a condition. And then, that means to say, his son who passed away would have been engaged halachically to this girl, and then, we don't want her to have to have a Yibum ceremony, which she has to do Yibum either, or Chalitza, why have that? We could avoid that, but you're just protesting. There's no point in making the condition happen. The son's dead anyway. Then we teach him to protest. Now, according to the Ravid, actually, if the father heard before the son passed away and he didn't protest, the Ravid holds that he could still protest even afterwards when his son dies. And because there is no set time, according to the Ravid, for the father's protest, and he could always protest, and therefore when the son dies, we teach him even subsequently to protest, even if he heard before the son passed away. But the Rambam holds that has to be at the time of when he hears about it. Now, Halacha Beis continues on also stipulations, not dependent on the third party, but it depends on another variable that's specifically of his assets. Halacha Beis, Emily Yishuv, someone says to a woman, you're engaged to me with this, he gives her something. On the condition that I have 200 zuz. Oy Beis Kur offer, or if I have an area of land that's fit to plant a kur, which is 30 saw of grain, which is in the area of 274 amas squared, as the Rambam himself writes in the Chasei Eichin, I have that amount of land, and on condition that I have that, then you're engaged. So im yesham edim sheyeshla, if there's witnesses that he has this monies or this land, alizim kedushas, then she's engaged because we can verify there's the veracity of this idea, and the condition is fulfilled. But the main loy, but if he doesn't have, and there's no verification of that, alizim kedushas misafik, she's still engaged out of doubt. Why? Shemi yeshli, maybe he really has the monies and he has the witnesses. Voim or emli, but he's saying I don't have kedela kalkula to cause her to stumble. Why? Because what he's going to do is, so, okay, the condition wasn't fulfilled. She's going to get married to someone else and have children. And later on, he's going to claim, I had monies, I had lands. Comes out, she's forbidden to her second husband, and her children are illegitimate because she was actually married to me when she got married to the second guy. Others explain that, no, what it means to say is that we're concerned that maybe he regretted it. He had a change of heart. So if he says, oh, I don't really have the money, I don't really have the land, because we presume when he did the condition, if he did it with that condition, that he really had it. And now he's regretting it, and therefore he's just doing it to ruin her for this, and therefore we have to be suspect that there was a kedushin, and therefore he would have to go ahead and do a gerushin. Halacha Gimel. Harit mukadesh libadzev, he says, hey, you engaged me with this thing, he gives her something, a ring. Amanash yishul mesayim zuz, in the condition that I have 200 zuz, oy base kor offer, or a base kor of land, which same as the previous halacha, but he adds on one more stipulation over here, bimkayim plain, in that place. He says, where exactly he's talking about. If he has in that place, again, so that's fulfilling the condition, then she's engaged. If he doesn't have in the place that he said, even if he has somewhere else, so she's not definitively engaged, she is doubtfully engaged. Again, the same idea, maybe he really does have over there. And again, his intent is just to ruin her, so we do have to suspect that he really does, but again, it's not in a definite way. Halacha Dalet. These are different variations of these cases. Harid Makadesh Libazay says, you're engaged to me with this. On the condition that I show you the 200 zuz. Or a base core offer or the base core of land. Harid Makadesh is Viyarin. So she's engaged, in other words, and he has to show it to her. And even if he has witnesses that he has it, it's not good. The condition is only fulfilled when he actually shows it to her. Now, Hera Hazuzim Yadachim, let's say he shows her the monies in someone else's hand. Or she had a base core offer, or he shows her the land in someone else's fields. She's not engaged until he shows it to her from his own. If he doesn't show her his own, then she's not even engaged, even out of doubt. We're saying that it has to be, the tenai is only when he shows it to her. Even if you have it, there's no condition mislavik, it's that you showed it to her. And it's only that, as Ram is going to explain, your own field. So it doesn't help to show her, oh, you see that beautiful field? Well, that's not mine, but here I'm showing it to you. No, it has to be from his own. So to lokach hamoyis, let's say he took the monies from a loan, a b'shutfas, or with partnership. Or the field that he's showing her was rented. Or the kochabarisis, or he took it through the craft of sharecropping, which he only gets a portion of the profits, a third or a quarter, according to the local custom. The head and he shows it to her. Again, einim ukedash, he's not going to engage at shirin mishalom until he shows it to her from his own. Because the understanding of I will show you means I'll show you from my own. This that I told you about. And if it's not enough to show her someone else's field, it's got to be his own that he's showing her. And therefore, until that, she's not going to be engaged. Halacha, hey, further qualifying this stipulation. Okay, let's say he had this amount, this size of field that he said that he has, and that's a condition that for them to be engaged. But there were these pits, these ditches. Amukim asar tvachim, that was 10 tvachim deep. Oislam, or in height, with these rocky terrain. Gvoim asar tvachim, 10 tvachim high, 10 hand breaths. So, im hoya nekoy malei mayim, if the ditches were filled with water, harem kislam, so that's the same thing as the rock. The rock doesn't have to have anything with water. It just means to say that then you have a significant height of area, that of 10 tvachim, which is the enim dadnimoy. So that's not measured together. In other words, if you have exactly base core offer and you have these ditches or these rocky areas, it's not going to be measured and you're not going to have the area of base core offer. Why is it not measured with the rest of the field? Because it's not fit to be planted. Now, that's only if it's 10 tefachim deep or 10 tefachim high. But if it's less than 10 tefachim, even if, let's say, those ditches are filled with water, it is measured with it. Like the Gemara says in Kedushas HaMech Aleph, because that's what's called Agonis Arkarka. It's these canals in the field that's considered secondary to the field. I mean, the rocky terrain is called like the spine of the land. No land is exactly perfect. So it would be considered secondary and part of the field if it's less than 10 tefachim. But if it's 10 tefachim hard, 10 tefachim deep, then And again, regarding the depth, it's only if it's filled with water. If it's not filled with water, it could be more than 10 tefachim deep, you could plant it. But the rocky terrain, you can't. So the rocky terrain higher than 10 tefachim, and the ditch is more than 10 tefachim, and it's filled with water, then you can't plant, and it's not considered part of the field. Now, if the ditch is not filled with water, then it would be measured with it, even though its ditch is more than 10 tefachim deep, because it's fit to be planted, so therefore it still qualify for the base core of offer. Now that I'm muzan halacha vav to other conditions, that of, as it relates to nedarim, vows, and mumim, and blemishes, halacha vav, if someone says to a woman, okay, you're engaged to me with this, and I'm giving you amanas, the condition, that you don't have any vows on you, meaning that she didn't take any vows. Now, and it turns out she actually has one of the following three vows that she took. Either she'll take a bus, she's not going to eat meat, or she'll tish the yin, she's not going to drink wine, or she'll discuss mitzvah, and she's not going to put on any type of colorful garments, she's not going to get all dressed up with jewelry, makeup. So then, in Mugadeshes. So then, she's not engaged, and the reason is because these are what's called nidri inu nefesh. There are things that afflict the person because if she doesn't get all dressed up, she's disgraceful, and someone who's getting engaged is particular if this girl doesn't put on makeup, doesn't get dressed up, and therefore she's not going to be engaged. Because he said that, I don't want you having the dharma. And these are having the dharma that a person would be particular about. Now, but let's say, it turns out she has some vow, not one of these three. Even though he says, oh, I'm particularly even on this, I said you shouldn't have the dharma. No, she's going to be engaged. And the reason is because most people are not particular about some random neder. And therefore that's not included in when he says, oh, as long as she doesn't have the dharma. Now, but let's say he says to her, I'm not sure like kol neder. Says, on the condition you don't have any vow, okay, then I feel a nimtz, she's not just like teichel charubin, and even if she took a vow that she's not going to eat boxes, she's not going to eat caribs, in Mekadesh, she's not engaged, which the Rambam himself is alluding to what he says in Hechaz Deyis, that charubim roam the oilam, that caribs are always bad. Boxes, not just the little kids who don't like, it's not good for a person, so you would have thought to say that, oh, that's not something that a person would be mocked, but that she took a vow not to eat boxes because it's anyway not a good thing. No, any vows means any vows, and she took a vow not to eat caribs. She's not engaged because he said any vows. But if he just said in general vows, it means those three and not any other ones. Halacha Zayin. Harid Mekadesh Libazev, he says, you're engaged to me with this that I'm giving you. Amanasha Imbach Mumin. That's on the condition. You don't have any blemishes. It turns out she has one of the blemishes that are problematic, are invalidations for a woman that any Mekadesh is not engaged. Now, but let's say you find some other blemish, not one of that category of blemishes that are problematic for a woman. Then, even though he says, yeah, I'm particular, I'm a very delicate person, I'm particular about any blemish, again, she's still going to be engaged because generally people are not particular and we don't consider it as if that was included. Now, explains the Rambah. What are these blemishes, as if there's a categorical explanation? What are blemishes that are invalidations for women that will invalidate the marriage? Any blemishes that invalidate a kohen from doing the avoda, place him anashim, invalidates by women. And what are those by the kohanim? So the Rambam says, "Behilchas bias mikdash, regarding the halachas of entering into the base of mikdash," which the Rambam says over there that he mentions the mumim that invalidate by kohanim as 140. Yisbaru kol mumim shukam. There we're going to explain all the blemishes of a kohen, and women are included in that. Now the yisalim banashim. Actually, women have more invalidations in their bodies than that of kohanim. And they are reich ra, if there's a bad odor coming from her body odor. Vizeya, if she's constantly sweating. Reich peh, and bad breath. Vakol ava, and a thick voice. Vedadin gasen migchavrisa tevach, if her breaths are larger than her friends, by that of a hand breath. Vetevach bin dadladad, and if there's a large gap between her breath, that of a hand breath. Uneshichas kele benasa mokum tzalekes, if a dog bites her, and it becomes like scarred, meaning after it heals, it makes like this mark on the skin, vishuma, and like a mole, like a wart type of protrusion coming out of her skin, sha'ala padachas, that's on her forehead. I feel like even though it was very small, I feel like kareva l'saration, even if it's very close to the hair on her head, which sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't, because our hair covers it, and we're talking about even that the mold doesn't even have say or doesn't even have hair on it. Sometimes the molds have these birthmarks have hair coming out of it. It says the Rambam Zuhi, this one that we're describing that's small that doesn't even have hair coming out of it, is Hashuma is the mole, she is Sayyish al-Kahan, that's considered a blemish that a woman has more than that wouldn't be considered a blemish by Kahan. Because avalam ha'isa shuma, but if let's say it was a mole, sheyesh ba'seir b'sharapan, that had hair on any other part of the face, where, again, that's always seen, and Rutsa has hair, shuma gedolik yisro, let's say it's a mole that's as large as an isser, which is a small Italian coin, which weighs around 4 barley corns, then avalam pisha imba say, then even if it doesn't have hair, that would be considered a blemish, b'mekan b'manashim, not only by women, but even by kahanim. It's only regarding the blemishes of a woman that we say on the face that she's going to be more severe, and regarding the small one on the forehead, even though it's close to her hair, even though there's no hair coming out of that mole. That's a stringency that women have over men. Now, one thing is that actually regarding women on any other part of the face, she actually would be engaged if he saw it and he was okay with that, unless it's a place where women go ahead and they cover their faces and they couldn't see. But if not, actually, what we consider blemish by Kahanim actually wouldn't be, because he would have acquiesced already by having seen her when he dated her and been okay with that. Halacha ches. Hamakadosh isha stam. Okay, let's say a person not like this other individual from the previous halacha that he specified, she doesn't have this, she doesn't have that. He just gets engaged to a woman. V'nimtza le'echad min ha'mumah poiz manashim. It comes out she has one of these blemishes that are invalidating by women. O'nimtza le'echad mishlesh and darmo. Let's say you find one of those three vows that generally people are bothered by. From what's called the nidri in the nefesh, those that afflict the person, not to eat meat, not to drink wine, not to get dressed up. I mean, that is a pretty morose type of a life. So then, that kedushin is in doubt. And because we don't really know if this person is particular or not, if he specifies it, we know for sure that we consider particular, but here we don't know, so it's a doubtful kedushin. Now, kidsha manasha inale nedar. Let's say he makes the kedushin, the engagement, on the kedushin that she doesn't have any vows. And she had vows, but she went to a sage who could be what's called mata the nether. He could permit it by saying, "Oh, did you really mean that? And would you have, had you known that, would you have done it?" She's like, "No, I have charat or whatever," and he permits it for her. Harizim Mukadesha. So interestingly, she's actually going to be engaged. The reason for this is a unique halacha that, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Nedarim in the fourth parak, that when a sage permits a nether, it's not from here on. It comes out that it's oikil ma'afeh, it retroactively uproots it as if she never took a nether. So therefore, even though she went after the engagement and she goes to this age, it's like as if she never had it. And therefore, when they did the kedushin, she quote unquote didn't have the nether and never should be engaged. Now, in contrast, the Rambam contains halacha test, kitcha almanash imba mumin. Let's say he does the engagement on the condition that she doesn't have any blemishes. Vahay ba mumin, she had blemishes. Now, but as a kala, they quickly say, okay, she's getting married. This guy's very particular about the blemishes, but we have to get the shidduch going, and they got engaged. And then she goes to the doctor, and she gets surgery, and he heals her. In the Mekadeshes, she's not going to be engaged. Which Gemara Ketubah says, well, what's the difference between the doctor and the sage? Because the sage, like we said, uproots it retroactively, in contrast to the doctor, which is only from here on. So it comes out, when the condition was done, on the condition that she doesn't have blemishes, that was not a valid condition, because she had blemishes. According to Taisus, which actually seems like the Rambam's interpretation, is that no, even after she gets healed and he had no clue, it doesn't make a difference. She's still repulsive in his eyes when he recalls about the blemishes that were there. So since at one point there was the mumen, that, and he made the condition when the condition, therefore that's not going to be okay. Because as the Rambam continues, he says, so by the woman she's not engaged. Avalim hisno ish she'en alav nedarim. But let's say the man makes a stipulation that he doesn't have vows. We're going to get engaged as long as I don't have. Or for shame by Munna, that he doesn't have blemishes. Truth is, he was not saying the truth. Bahai loved the drum, he had vows. Bahai by Munna, and he had blemishes. Okay, but he knows he's getting married and he had made the stipulation. Bahalach Etzel Chacha Beitir goes to the sage who permits it. Or Etzel Reif of Ridip, he goes to the doctor who heals him. Hayrezim Makadashas, here she is going to be engaged, even with the blemishes. Why? She'in Gnaila ish, but Munna Chekvar Nirpo. And this is where you see that the Rambam is like the way Taisus said it, that there's no disgrace for a man for the blemishes that he had previously had that he got healed. And Ve'isha in the Makpedis says, a woman's not particular about this, she wants to get married. So that's the difference regarding his stipulation for about his body or for her. For the woman, even though she's healed already, but he remembers that, and that is for him disgraceful, and therefore it would not be a valid kedushin. But when he takes it about himself, a woman's not particular about it, and therefore, since he heals himself, it is going to be a valid kedushin. Now the Rambam contains halacha yuv, yud, with other stipulations, that of regarding as it relates to time. Ha'im Elisha, if someone says to a woman, Harim Magadesh Li Bazeh, you're engaged to me with this, and I'm giving you Amanash Etain Lich, Masayim Zuz, and the condition I give you 200 Zuz, Mikon Matlashim Yom. From now until 30 days. I give myself a 30-day time limit. So if he gives it to her within 30 days, so she's engaged. If 30 days already passed and he didn't give it to her, then she's not engaged. Now, what's the chiddush in that is that even if he subsequently gives it to her, it's not fulfilling the condition. In other words, you don't say that, no, he only meant to like say, oh, I'm going to do it in how many times does a mother say, in 20 minutes I'll get it done. She doesn't get it done. Or father says, I'm going to be there, you know, in a few moments, and he doesn't. And maybe it's not a full-fledged condition. And we say, no, that's what the stipulation that he said. Within 30 days. Comes on day 32. It's already too late. It's not a valid condition. Now, let's say it says, you're engaged to me with these monies, la'achash le'ishim yoyim, after 30 days. Means to say, unlike the previous case, he does not want the condition to take effect right away. He wants it to take effect in 30 days from now. So here the Rambam says a chiddush. Even though the money is already consumed by the woman within the 30 days, she's going to be engaged after 30 days when he said it should take effect. Now, the chiddush in this is it seemingly sounds like the case, a mekadesh ben milva, engaging with a loan, because here it's only kedushin after 30 days. So he's not giving her anything now 30 days later, because she already used it up. She owes him, but that's a milva, which the Rambam previously said that she's not going to be engaged. No, because here it's different. Here, when she initially receives the monies, she didn't receive it as a loan, and then he's forgiving the loan. She received it as kedushin. But even if she's going to use it, it's only with the condition that that's going to engage her. So she actually, when she consumed the monies, she was consuming his, and when the time came, she received that pleasure that she doesn't have to give him back that monies, but she received it in the context of kedushin, and therefore that's the chiddush of the Rambam, that she's going to be engaged. Now, but if he retracts within 30 days, or she retracts, then in Mekadesh, she's not going to be engaged, because as long as the condition did not take effect, so there's no actual halachic engagement, is just a commitment, and when they retract, so that uproots that what's called the second dibur, uproots the initial dibur, because no maisa of kedushin was actually done. So although it's going to take effect, even if she consumed it, there's not going to be a kazmi milva, but they could still back out within the 30 days. Now let's say a second guy comes along, and he hears about, oh, they got engaged, but wait a second, interesting engagement. He gave her money, he said, but it should only take effect within 30 days. So he goes, on day 15, he goes to her and he says, you want to get engaged? And he gives her a ring. So she's now forever engaged to the second guy. Why? When the second person was Mekadesh, she was not engaged yet. As we said, it only takes effect after 30 days. So the second man's kedushin takes effect and she becomes a married man to him. Now, when it reaches 30 days from the first time, from the first man, when it comes to the first one's kedushin, turns out she's already married woman to the second guy. So it comes out that the first guy is kamisha kedush. It's just like he's trying to betroth a married woman. She's not kedushin divisa, but which you cannot do kedushin on a married man, on a married woman, and therefore she's engaged to the second one and not to the second man. Now halacha yud beis. If someone says to a woman, here he doesn't say that I want you to be engaged to me in 30 days or after 30 days. He says, I want you to be betrothed to me from now and after 30 days. Bedinazer with this dinner that I'm giving you. Now another man comes along and betroths her within 30 days. So she's engaged to both of them out of doubt. Meaning, the doubt is regarding what the first person had said. When he said, what does it mean from now and after 30 days? If it's a stipulation, in other words, if he's not retracting, that is, he wants the condition to take effect right now. So it comes out that if he doesn't back out within 30 days, she's really engaged from now. It's just a t'nai that after 30 days should be taking effect right now. So that means to say the second guy's condition, retroactively, after 30 days, was nothing. Or we're not sure, is he actually what's called being chayzer? Is he actually trying to change what he had said? Where, although I originally said me'achshav, no, la'achash le'ishim yoy. So that means to say, if it was after 30 days, it means up until then she was single. So the second guy's condition would have taken effect. So we're not sure what the first guy meant, what it means. So therefore she's engaged to both out of doubt. Lafikach named this get. So says Ram, therefore if she wants to get married, both of them have to give a get. And that could be done by me'achash le'ishim yoy. And that's the chiddush that even within 30 days, even the first one could give his get, even though he's not engaged to her, because it's only after 30 days. But that's not like the halacha of davar shleibel olam, which you can't do something that has not yet taken effect, because it's not really missing anything in action, because the 30-day mark is going to come by itself. The action of kedushin was already done from the moment when he did the kedushin, so even within 30 days, they could do it, or ben lachash leishim yom, or whether after 30 days. Now, katin zirambam, let's say he says to harid mekadeshli ma'achshav lachash leishim yom. So he says, I want you to be kedushin to me from now, and after 30 days, as we said in the first part, in the previous case. Now, uvach v'am, now the second person, he says, interestingly, he says, the second guy says, I want to be kedushin to me from now, same wording, but not after 30 days, after 20 days. And then the third guy comes along and says, I want you to be kedushin to me for now and after 10 days. So it says the Rambam, even if it's 100 with the same order, meaning that the later person's kedushin is the la'achar, the later time is going to be finishing before the guys before him, which we're going 30, 20, 10, 9, 8, 7. So they're all saying me'achshav ula'achar, the amount of days is ending before the previous people's. Kedusha kulam taifsim, so then all their kedushin are going to take effect, out of doubt. Utsrich get mekalech v'echad, therefore she's going to need a get, a divorce time from every single one. And she's suffering mekadesh l'kum, because she's doubtfully engaged to each one of them, like we said, because we're not sure, is it tanai? So then it's the first one. I'm not sure if it's chazara. If it's chazara, then it's the one who's beating that mark. Now each one is beating that previous guy's mark, but we're not sure is it Tanai or Chazara, so therefore she's going to need a get from each and every one. The Rambam continues on another Tanai, another stipulation, that of including who's prohibited with his Kedushin. Generally, the Kedushin says that she's forbidden to every single man besides him. But Halacha Yigimel says that Rambam, if someone says to a woman, you're engaged to me, chutz miplein, except for that person, kolema, what do you mean you're engaged to me besides that person? Shleiti also love that you should not be forbidden on him. L'ti Eishes Ishal Kol, and Ren, I want you to be considered a married woman for every single person in the world. But L'plein Kibnoi, and for that man, you're like you're single. Harizim Mekadesh Mishtavik. So here she's engaged out of doubt because we're not sure. Could you engage a woman to leave over part of the acquisition, or because why not? You could always leave over part of a kinyan, which is what kedushin is. Or no, do we compare kedushin to gerushin, which it says in Devarim Chavdal B'yotzav Hayis L'Shacha that she gets divorced and she goes and marries another person. So we're comparing Havai, which Kedushin, to Yitzi, which is divorce. Just like divorce, you can't leave over anything. In other words, it has to be a complete severance. Like the Pasuk says, Sefer Krisa, like, yet it's called the book of cutting off. And if you leave off anything that she's still connected on some level, that's not considered a valid get. So to Kedushin, you can't leave over. Which, why is this different than the case of Me'ach Shav L'Ach Shalash M'yayim Nalokh Yud Beis, which we said that actually, that's also somewhat engaged, somewhat not. No, because they're not leaving over anything unless it's only for 30 days. Here, you're leaving over something in the essence of the actual Kedushin itself, in its infinite element, that's saying it's only a Kedushin for everyone else besides him. So that, we're not sure, could you do that or not? Therefore, she's being engaged out of doubt to this man. Now, Avul Amala, let's say he says it differently. Here's where the wording is important. Let's say he says, Harid Mekadeshli, you're engaged to me, Almanos Shati Mutasl Bani, on the condition that you're permitted to that person. He didn't say Chutz, he says Almanos. Oh, so Harid Mekadesh is here, she's going to be engaged to this man, because here he didn't leave over anything from the Kedushin. He made a full Kedushin. He just made a stipulation with her that, like any other stipulation that a man could make, and actually, Beti Asur Lav Kesharim, and she's actually forbidden to that man, like anybody else in the world, because a woman's not fit to have a relations with two men, and the reason why that stipulation is not there, because the stipulation was on something that cannot be fulfilled because of the Issa Torah. And we had previously said in the previous Perek, it's not bottle, and the mice is Kayim. So therefore, the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin, and there was a condition, but the condition is null and void because it can't be Masna Masha Kazabatayr. And therefore, she's been engaged to him. In contrast to the case of Chutz, which we're not sure, it wasn't a condition, this Mekadesh is Misavik here, it's definitely a condition, and the Tanai is not kind. Now that I moves on to the second half of this parag, regarding future Kedushin, which is similar to the case we're talking about, from now in 30 days, but that was regarding the laws of stipulations, here it's really regarding the laws of making Kedushin that will be in the future. Halacha Yadal. Halachin Shtei Prutis Li'isha. If someone gives two Prutis to a woman, which one is what is the minimum for Kedushin, he gives her two. V'amal, and he tells her, Harid Mekadesh Esli Hayon Ba'achas. Okay, you know, you're engaged to me today with one of those coins. Uva'achas, and with the other one, La'achas Agarshech. After I divorce you, I want you to be then re-engaged with that Pruta. So, Harid Mekadesh, so this woman is engaged, which some say that the Rambam means out of doubt, meaning for the second time, meaning when he divorces her, okay, she's engaged with the coin that he initially gave her to get re-engaged when he divorces her. Now, ukrashirigaj aisa, so when he divorces her, she's automatically back engaged. Until he divorced her a second time, from the condition of the second coin. Because so she, anytime he divorces her, boom, she's right back engaged because he had initially given her to her beforehand. Which that's the elements that we're talking about over here regarding future kedushin. Now, Avalam Amal Ishabaletzi tells a woman, different case of future kedushin. You're engaged to me with this coin that I'm giving to you after I convert. I'm not Jewish yet. I want to get married to you. I'm converting. So here, take this money, and then you'll be engaged after I convert. You're not Jewish, but after you convert. I'm now a slave, a non-Jewish slave to a Jew, and I'm not fit to get married, but after I get freed, I know I'm getting freed shortly, then that will be the engagement. Or after you get divorced. Or after your husband passes away, which now you're a married woman, not fit to get married to me. Or after that your sister passes away, who that was this man's wife, and he cannot get engaged to his sister-in-law, his wife's sister, when his wife's alive. When his wife passed away, he actually could get married to her. In all these cases, she's not going to be engaged. Because right now, he cannot get engaged to her. So they're all qualified like what's called Devarim Shelo Ba'olam. When you don't have the thing extant in the world, you cannot acquire, as the Gemara says, Kedushin Amal Beis, something that's not even here yet. And so she's not here, he's not here in that context of the marriage. In contrast to the first case, where the woman here that he's engaging, he could, she is actually engaging her right now, he's giving her the kedushin that should even happen for later, and since he could do it right now, but it's not, he's doing it for after she gets divorced, but since he could, so it will. In contrast to these cases where he cannot, so it will not. Halacha tezvav, hoimali yavama. Someone says to his yavama, which is when his brother died without any children, his sister-in-law has to have yibum or chalitza, and she's forbidden to anyone else until he does chalitza to her. So if he says to his yavama, his widowed sister-in-law, Harid mekadesh li bazeh, you're engaged to me with this that I'm giving you right now. La'acher sheyachlitz lich yavamech. So this is actually another man, a third party, says to a yavama, not his yavama, says to a widowed woman that, okay, look, your brother-in-law I know doesn't want to get married to you. After he'll do the chalitza, and I have this ring right now, I'm afraid it's going to get lost. Here, take it. After your brother-in-law will do chalitza to you, so then this will be the kedushin. So it says the Rambam, harezim ha-kedushes. So she's engaged. And some say, actually here also, it's misafik. It's a doubtful kedushin. But it is somewhat of a kedushin. Ilu kicha'ata, because since if he would do kedushin to her right now, when she's still a yavama, ha-kedushin teisiba misafik, the kedushin would take effect out of doubt, as the Rambam explained already in Perek Dalad, that we're not sure regarding this issa of Yavama Lazar, of a Yavama marrying anyone else before she gets Yibna Chalitza from her brother-in-law. If kedushin is taifis or not, is it like an ervo, is it like a regular chiv alavin? So since the kedushin would take effect out of doubt, so technically it's like he could do kedushin, and therefore, since he could do, so then you could do the kedushin la'achar zman, and therefore it will be mukadeshes again. And some say mini misafik. Halacha tezayin. If someone says to his friend, I really like you and I really want to be in your family. If your wife gives birth to a girl, see this expensive diamond? I'm giving it to you. If your wife ever has a girl, I'm not marrying anyone else. I want to be engaged to your daughter. So Lema Klum says the Rambam, he hasn't said anything because his wife's not pregnant, and it's what's called the Davash Lebel Oilam. You can't go ahead and do a kinyan, which is what Kedushin is, on something that's not here. Now, but let's say his friend's wife was pregnant. But who could open and you could tell that she's pregnant? Harezim Mugdash, then actually, when there's a girl, he will be engaged to her. Now, but says the Rambam, it seems to me that he has to go back and do another kedushin after this girl is born, through her father, meaning by giving it to the father, so that he should, when he consummates the relationship with this girl, that it should be with a kedushin that there's no flaw in it, because really, on some level, it's not baloilim yet. This fetus is in the womb. So, strangely, we're going to say that she is considered married to him, because ultimately, she is there in some form, but still, says the Rambam, one should still go ahead and do kedushin after she's born. Now the Rambam continues halacha yitzayin with when there's a set amount of money that was established regarding what the kedushin is going to be with. So, someone says to a woman, you're engaged to me with 100 dinar. This is what I'm using for kedushin. Then he gives her even just one dinar. She's already engaged. From the moment that she takes the dinner. Now, but the stipulation is, that of course he has to complete and give the rest. Now, why is this? Because it's like as if he said, you're really engaged me with this one dinner. I'm on the condition that I supplement and give the 100 dinar, which he's really engaged right now with the one dinner, because condition doesn't need that much. It needs one pruta. So he's whatever the coin that you're giving, are you giving 100 of it? The first one is really the kedushin. The rest is just like, I'll supplement it. So therefore, when he gives the first dinner, as long as he ends up giving the rest, the first dinner she's engaged. Now, but says the Rambam, when do we say this? Is kesha'amala, when he tells her, b'mei dinar m'stam, when he just says 100 dinar. Avalim peidish b'amala, but if he specifies, and he says to her, reit m'kideshli b'mei dinar elu, see, these 100 dinar, you're going to engage with these 100 dinar. And v'hischa limnus l'techiyot, he starts counting it, and yeah, here's one, here's two, here's three. Then any mekadesh is atchiyash mameya. Then she's not engaged until he gives her all 100 dinar. The reason is because since she sees him starting to count, she's like, okay, that's what I want to get engaged with, which is this whole amount. Now, vafilu b'dinah achrin, even up until the last dinner, shnei b'chim lachz, as I said, they could both back out because it's not a kedushin until it's all given. And so the b'chim nimtzim mana chasa dinah. Let's say it comes out that there's a 100, the full 100 dinar, the mana. But it's missing one dinner. It was one off. So that could be, for example, if he gave it to her at nighttime and she didn't realize that it's missing one. Or comes out that actually one of those dinarim is actually copper. And generally a dinner is silver. She's not going to be engaged because he misled her. And even if he exchanged it, she's not going to be engaged because she relied on this and it was missing. And if it's not a valid condition. Now, but let's say nimtzabem dinner ra. Let's say there's an inferior dinner, which is a little rubbed out, and missing a little bit of the weight, which is how coin the currencies were based on the weight. So, if it could be used, even under extreme extenuating circumstances, but it would pass as a dinner, then it's going to be a valid kedushin. It's just that he has to swap it for her, not because of the kedushin obligation, but because of the monetary obligation. Because of the promise of the 100 dinar.
Back to kedushin, since it could be used al de'at chag, so she's not particular.
Now, vimla, but if it can't be used, even under extenuating circumstances, then in Mekadesh, she's not going to be engaged, because it has to be exactly those 100 dinar. Halacha yud ches, amala, let's say it says to Arid, Mekadesh is libegadim elu. You're engaged to me with these garments. Sheheim, shavin chemichim dinar, which they're worth 50 dinar. V'hoyu shal meshi, and they were silk, v'kayitzbem, or things like that, she'ishim esavalem, which women desire. So, if it was worth 50, then she's engaged from the moment that she takes it. And the chiddush in that is, it does not have to first be evaluated in the marketplace. And only subsequently be engaged, so that she should rely and say, and know that it's really worth the amount that he promised her. No. Rather, since it is worth the amount that he had told her, she's engaged from that first moment. Which, as the Gemara says, a kedushin that silk doesn't need to be evaluated. Which the Rambam understands that to mean that specifically silk and things like that, which a woman desires. But there are those who want to say that specifically silk does not need to be evaluated for the kedushin because it's well known the value in part, and people don't usually make such a large error in its evaluation. Regarding other things like precious gems, diamonds, and pearls, which people end up making, it's very hard to really evaluate its value. That would have to be evaluated before the kedushin because a woman doesn't really rely on, I don't know how much, you tell me it's a $3,000 diamond, I don't really know that is, and actually from there is where the custom came from doing the kedushin with a ring that has no stone so that we don't get into all this whole debate and question regarding its value or not, because then because then the real estate is not a kedushin unless it's first evaluated and ascertained by the woman to know that's really worth the amount that she was told. Now, the main shavin, let's say it actually turns out that it's... So we're saying that the kedushin here, the way the Rambam is saying, is actually, it does not have to be evaluated as long as it's worth that amount. She's going to be engaged from that moment. Now, but if a main shavu, let's say it turns out that it's not actually worth the amount. She finds out a week later, that garment? Yeah, that's worth only half of what he told you. Then in Mekadesh, she's not engaged because he did promise her that amount. It's just that when he did, you don't have to first wait for the evaluation. It's going to be right away. But if it's not, then obviously she's not going to be engaged. Halacha yotes. If there's a man or woman that they were involved
in getting engaged. Hu Aimer, he says, look, b'mei dinar makadosh aisach. 100 dinar I'll use for the kedushin. The Aimer, she's like, no, I'm worth more. Ein miskadosh lach ilu b'masayim. I'm only getting engaged if you give me 200. V'halach zelabes. Zelabes, so that's it. They go home. They don't decide to get engaged yet. He goes to his house. She goes to her house. Now v'achkach tavazeza. Then they request one from the other and they supplicate and they say, look, let's get this done. The kitrustam, and they get engaged. Now he gives her a bundle of money and she doesn't know how much that was. Now it depends who ultimately made the request, to whose dollar amount will we go on. If the man ends up going and says, look, let's get engaged. So then you also divide isha. Then you actually have to do based on what the woman was. She thought, okay, he's begging to get, he wants to really get married. So he's coming around to my side that he's going to give me 200 dinar. And if it's not 200, then she's not engaged. Now, then isha tav as it is, but if the woman requests from the man, she's like, come on, let's just get engaged. Then you also divide isha. Then you do what the man had originally posited, which is only 100, and she's going to be engaged, because obviously if she's coming to him and begging him to get engaged, she's agreeing to his side, which is going to be 100. Nadam now continues on other laws of Kedushin, and of that of Tanai, regarding when the agent, which you could do Kedushin with agency, with the Shliach, if he deviates, he does differently than what he was told. Halachachav. Ha'isa Shliach le'kadosh le'isha. Someone makes an agent to go ahead and betroth him a woman without any stipulations. Then the agent goes and betroths her with a stipulation. It's like, on the condition that, you know, he figured he'd get something out of this girl, hey, you give $1,000 to his favorite charity. In the Mekadesh, he's not engaged. That was not your agency. Let's say the other way around. Let's say he tells him, okay, you tell the woman I want to get engaged on the condition that she does ABC. And then the agent just betroths her. He doesn't do the stipulation. Or he makes it up some other condition. Or he changes the condition. Again, in Mekadesh, not going to be engaged, because that's a general rule, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Shluchim, if he changes from the stipulations of the one who sent him, he hasn't done anything, and it's not a fulfillment of that agency. Halacha Chav Aleph. Amaloi, let's say he tells the Shliach, Kachli b'makom pleni, I want you to betroth her in that place. The Shalom Seli say, I want you to go ahead and engage her specifically with you. And he goes, he betroths her somewhere else. In Mekadesh, she's not engaged, because that's not what he told her. Now, let's say he says the following words, and this is where the wording is important. Let's say he says, Kachli, I want you to betroth her for me. Now, she happens to be by the Arc de Triomphe. That's where she is, in that place. Now, and then he goes and engages her in another place. Oh, Hadez Mekadesh, she's going to be engaged. You know why? The wording is, you see, he was just showing him a mile marker. He's just showing her location. Oh, she is in that place. But he wasn't saying that's where it has to be. Now she's going to be engaged. And so too, by the other way, when she tells her agent, Kabali Kedusha b'mal complaining, I want you to receive my Kedusha from him at that place, by the Kaisel. The Kibbutz of Makamacha, and he gets it from somewhere else in the old city. And the Mekadesh, she's not engaged. She said, I want to receive it from him in that place. Now, but let's say she says, Hadea Balbim complaining, oh, that man, oh, he's there by the Western Wall. The Kibbutz of Makamacha, but he gets the condition from him somewhere else. Hadea the Mekadesh, she is going to be engaged. Again, she's just showing, just indicating where he is, where you can find him, but it wasn't a stipulation that she was required. The Rambam concludes the last two halachas with what we spoke about in this parak regarding kedushin and tanai, and that about backing out. Halacha chav beis. Hamakadosh ha'isha. If a woman betroths a woman, v'chazu b'miyad, and right away he backs out. Who or he, either him or her, right away like, oh, what am I doing over here? Afa b'isha chazu b'techi yedibur, even if they retracted within what's called the amount of time of speaking, which is, as the Rambam says, hilchos shavuos, the amount of greeting that a student has to his teacher, which is Shalom Aleichem Rabbi, peace be on you, my teacher, which is a few moments, even if, which generally that's considered contiguous with the previous thing, it's considered part of that statement, which you could generally back out. Regarding Kedushin in Chazaras HaKlum, her backing out is insignificant, and she's going to be engaged. And the reason for this is, like the Gemara said in Dovda Peizayin, that although generally Techi Dibur is Kedibur, it's like that one statement, there are three exceptions. Doing of a Zara, Kedushin, and Gedushin, like the Ran explains. Generally, anything a person does, he doesn't conclude until he's finished what he's in the middle of doing. which is a few seconds afterwards. But these things are so severe. Avodah Zarah, getting married, getting divorced, these are big things. A person doesn't do it until they fully made up their mind. So therefore, it doesn't help to back out even within those next few seconds, and they're basically going to be engaged. Now, halacha of Gimel. Hamakadosh al Tanai. Someone does an engagement with a condition. Then a few days later, you know, he's like, yes, it feels so bad. I got engaged with, I made her a condition that if she does X, Y, and Z, he nullifies the condition. So, and even if he does it between him and her, the chas and kal, the walking, he's like, you know what? I feel bad. You don't have to do that condition. And he nullifies it, not in front of witnesses. The stipulation is null and void. But then the condition is going to be valid, even meaning without the fulfillment of that stipulation. Now, the reason for this is because the Rambam holds that the bittul of the Tanai does not need witnesses, as long as the kedushin itself was done with witnesses, as the Rambam himself said in Perek Gimel, that the agent of the husband, for example, to engage from a woman, doesn't have to be done with witnesses. Like he says, because there's no necessity for witnesses in the agency of the husband. It's only the condition itself. So the same thing would apply for nullification or a completion of a condition, as long as the actual condition was done with witnesses. Or let's say the same thing if the stipulation was from the woman. And then she goes and she nullifies the stipulation. Again, it nullifies the stipulation. Therefore, says the Ram like this. So if someone makes a kedushin on condition. Now, when he gets married, he doesn't say anything. Doesn't talk about the stipulation. Oh, did you take it? We're consummated relationship. Did you take it? Doesn't say anything. Or he just cohabits without saying anything. So here, out of doubt, she's going to require a get. Now, why? I've been in the scam tonight, but the condition wasn't fulfilled. So it comes that there was no kedushin. No. Shema bitla tanai, maybe he nullified the condition, and we said that doesn't have to be done from the witnesses, and that's what Ram is saying, lafikach, maybe nullified the condition. Why? Kishabal, when they cohabited with her, akashakonas, or when he brought her home, we don't know, because he didn't say anything. So maybe he nullified, which she could do. So, out of doubt, maybe she is married, but maybe not, so therefore she's going to require a get. Now, the Ravid, however, requires that this of bringing her into his house to be considered as a marriage would have to be done with witnesses. And therefore, that would be the nullification of the stipulation with witnesses, because as the Ravid himself says in the third parak, that also the agency of the husband does have to be done with witnesses, which is based on the klal that kol davar she'be'erva, anything related to that of relationships, required two witnesses. So therefore, this would also have to be with witnesses. Now, but says the Rambam, let's say if the man does the kedushin with something less than the pruta, or with a loan, which we had said previously are not valid kedushin, and then then he goes and he cohabits with her without saying anything in front of witnesses, which that doesn't mean the actual bia, it means that he secluded with her with witnesses, because anytime you do the kedushin with bia, you don't have to actually do the actual bia in front of them. But rather, that the yichud, because as well known, hinin the yichud, hinin the bia, like the Gemara says, as the Rambam said in the third parak, in Hachas Kedushin, that's considered as if the witnesses saw that kedushin of bia. So, tzricha get. So, she's going to require a get. And the reason is, like, as in the previous halacha, shal bi'ila zu samach, because he's really relying on this cohabitation to do the kedushin. And not on those kedushin that were possible because less than Shabbat Pruta or then that of a milva, which obviously what we're saying over here in these last two halachas of doing the kedushin less than the Pruta or with a loan, that the bia here has to be in front of witnesses because that is the primary kedushin. In contrast to what the Ram had said just before, when you do the kedushin on the stipulation, that then he said no, then the bia does not have to be with witnesses because that's actually the bittul of the Tanai. And actually the kedushin is fulfilled with the first kedushin, like the Bagah Mishnah says. And therefore that's why here it's different, that here we're not sure she's going to require a get, because to the contrary, he's not saying anything now. And he knows that the first thing, as the Ram says, Chazaki, there's a presumption, she'inod mi'isol haksherim, we don't have an upstanding Jew that oisid bi'ilasa is going to do his cohabitation, bi'ilas nus, a bia of znus. So he knows that the kedushin that he originally did was less than the pruta or the milva. That's not a kedushin. So when he's doing the bia now, he's not doing it just as getting married, which is in the second stage. He's doing it to be a new kedushin. and therefore it's definitive kedushin. In contrast, in the previous case, when he does the kedushin al tanai, even when he does a bia, it's only kedushin out of doubt, because we're not sure. Maybe he's doing the bia relying on the stipulation, and he thinks that the kedushin was fulfilled, and then actually the bia would be his nus, but he just doesn't know that. Here he knows the original kedushin was not valid, and if he's doing a bia, so why doing a bia? We presume that you would not do just as a nus, as immoral out of wedlock relations. And therefore, v'haredi b'yodei atla says it be less mitzvah, because he has the opportunity now to do this bia as a mitzvah. And therefore, we're presuming that it's a new kedushin, and therefore she is definitely going to be engaged in. Now, the Rambam does write in Tshuvas that every single Yisrael has this chazaka until we know that he's someone who has immoral relations of znos, and then obviously he won't have that chazaka, because if not, anyone who has relations with a single girl in front of witnesses would require a get, which is not the case. It's only a regular man who would presume that he was dating this woman and he did a kedushin, and then he does a bia. We're presuming that he's doing that bia to be as a kedushin, which is one of the three possible ways, and because he knows that the original was not a valid kedushin, and the man would not make his bia's nus, rather he's performing the mitzvah of kedushin now with this bia.